thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ in Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
Our scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this way we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another in these things.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here. What a beautiful Lord's Day God has given us. Have you been busy reading your Bibles? Raise your hands if you are caught up on your Bible reading. All right, that is super. That is super. Sometimes people tell me, you know, we took a trip, and in the car, we read the Bible for 30 or 40 minutes. Isn't that great? Or every night we sit around the table after dinner and we read the Bible together. Isn't that great that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? It is true that every one of us at some time or another in life will lose a loved one to death. We will stand at the cemetery and we will hear encouraging words if we're able to pay attention and focus. And then after the prayer, we will shake the hands of family and friends and say our goodbyes. In Genesis chapter 23, we read the account of the death of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And I believe that we find in this account, we find encouragement, we find understanding those days when we face grief. This morning I want to focus, I want our focus to be primarily on the grief that comes with death. Look, I know people grieve for many different reasons. Here about a month ago, I was in Kansas City visiting my brother, and I was sitting at the table talking to my sister-in-law, and she said, you know, this past fall, Leah, our oldest, went to college, and she went several hundred miles away from home, and she told me, she said, I knew it would be hard, but I didn't know how hard. She said, you know, for 2 or 3 months, I was grieving at the loss of my daughter as she had moved away. I think about a couple who have been married for a number of years, and either one or both allows selfishness and sin to come into that marriage, and that marriage begins to become unglued and to break apart, and there's the separation and the divorce and all the grief. Or how about losing something that's very dear to you, like a family heirloom? Or maybe you all of a sudden have unexpected financial reversals and you lose the family farm or the family business and you grieve. Oh, you had that boyfriend or girlfriend. Oh, you loved them so much. I mean, they were the darling of your heart and you were thinking in your mind, I know that this is going to result in married bliss. But then comes the words of rejection and all of a sudden it falls apart. And there you are, left with grief. I know that we grieve for many different reasons. And I know that something is true, and that is right now, many of us in this room are grieving. You see, as a congregation, we have suffered some deep losses over the last days and weeks and months. You feel it as an individual. We feel it as the West Huntsville family. Some of you have lost some people that were very dear to you, and so the wounds are still tender and they're fresh. And so what do we do today? Well, we are going to come to the Word of God as children of God, and we're going to look for understanding, comfort, healing. Please take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23. Verse 1. The Bible says that Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit seems to respect the average woman's sensitivity to her age. For Sarah is the only woman in the Bible whose age is given and is recorded here at death. I want you to notice, first of all, this. Sarah lived. Sarah lived. Well, that may seem a very obvious point, but sometimes it's a fact that's easily forgotten when someone is facing a loss. Especially if that person has been in a hospital or a sick bed, or perhaps they have been in a nursing home for months, if not years. For a period of time, it seems all that we could remember is that they were in the process of dying. The memories of them being full of life and vitality, oh, they're hard to recall. And all we can remember are the trials that came with the sickness, but it's hard to recall the blessings that came before the trials. And I guess that's the way it is with any loss, isn't it? It's easy for us to miss the opportunities of the blessings that we have enjoyed. And oftentimes when a person passes and I go to a home and talk with that family, those are some of the most precious conversations that I have the opportunity to be involved in with members. Because you look over the past and you think about that person and maybe some little quirk or funny thing that they said or something about their personality and that's shared and everybody laughs. And then there's the tears are shed because of the hole, the void that's in those hearts. You know what? I know that sometimes a mistake is made when a person is talking to someone who has lost a loved one, that what they do is they try to avoid any conversation about that person because they think to themselves, they think, you know what? I want to be sensitive. I know this person is grieving and I don't want to hurt them. And so we act like that person has never lived. I don't know anything that causes more pain to a person who's grieving than the feeling like their loved one can be so easily forgotten. The truth is, the person who has lost a loved one wants to talk about that person. They want people to say, you know what? Our life was so rich with your loved one. Let me tell you about a special memory. You know, this morning, I went outside and I thought of your loved one. Yeah, it's likely to bring a tear, but my friend, it is a grateful tear. I wonder if Abraham sat with Isaac around a fire in the evening and they reminisced about the good old days of Sarah. I wonder if Abraham told Isaac what a wonderful woman that she was and how supportive that she was when God had asked Abraham to do some incredible things. I wonder if he told Isaac about the first time they had met, about their wedding day, Perhaps about when the angels and the Lord came to visit them. About the day when Isaac was born. I wonder if they laughed and they cried and then they bowed their heads and they gave thanks to God for the blessings of her life. Yes, Sarah lived. She lived. But I want you to know that there are some things we simply do not know about Sarah. I mean, we admire her. I mean, there she is in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about all the heroes of faith. There she is. But yet we do not know who her mother was. We do not know what her hobbies were. We don't know anything about her childhood. The scriptures simply do not tell us. Now, when I sit and talk with a family and leave that house and go to my car, I almost always think to myself, I wish I would have known that person better. There are always dimensions of that person's life that surprise me. And inevitably, I'll be sitting around with the family and they'll be talking about different things and stories. And someone will tell a story and then another family member will say, I didn't know that. I had never heard that before. My friends, there are unmined riches in all of the people that are sitting around you this morning. Blessings to be gained, joys to be shared, depths to be explored. We need to take the time to get to know one another. And you can do that in a few ways. Tell the stories about your life. And if you're real ambitious, write them down. Think to ask other people about their lives. Ask about what happened in their childhood. Ask about their goals and their dreams in life. Take lots of photographs. Make it a point to learn something new about someone you care about. Look, people like to talk about themselves. But we need to remember to ask. Secondly, this morning, I want you to notice that Abraham grieved. Look in verse 2 of our text. The Bible says that Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for her and to weep. Abraham loved his wife, and the death of Sarah was a very painful experience for him. He showed his love and he showed his grief by his tears. These are the first recorded tears in the Bible, and they will not end till the Lord wipes them away. Revelation 21:4. Abraham wept for Sarah. There is a foolish notion that the faithful members of the Lord's church ought not to cry when they suffer a loss. That is a foolish notion. Sometimes you hear a person say, you know what? I need to be strong. Why? For what? Grief is a very natural part of life and death. Grief has been given to us by God to help mend and heal our broken hearts when a loved one is taken from us in death. Paul didn't tell the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, he said, don't weep, don't sorrow. He said, do not sorrow as others who have no hope. See, our grieving should be different than those in the world. I think about in the Bible, I think about how Joseph wept over Jacob, Genesis chapter 50 for 40 days. I think about the children of Israel who wept over Moses for some 30 days, Deuteronomy chapter 34. I think about David who wept over Solomon, 2 Samuel 18. I think about Jeremiah who wept over the destruction of Jerusalem in the book of Lamentations. I think about our Lord who wept over the death of Lazarus, John chapter 11. And then there's that tender story there in the book of Acts where the elders and the Ephesians are weeping because they're going to see Paul for the very last time in Acts chapter 20, verse 37. Someone has written this, tears, those tiny drops of humanity, those round, wet balls of fluid that tumble from our eyes, they creep down to our cheeks and splash on the floor of our hearts. They are always present at such times. They should be. That's their job. They are miniature messengers on call 24 hours a day to substitute for crippled words. The drip, drop, and pour from the corners of our soul, carrying with them the deepest emotions we possess. They tumble down our faces with announcements that range from the most blissful to the darkest despair. The principle is simple. When words are most empty, tears are most apt. A tear stain on a letter says much more than the sum of all its words. A tear falling on a casket says what a spoken farewell never could. What summons a mother's compassion and concern more quickly than a tear on a child's cheek? What gives more support to a sympathetic tear on the face of a friend? When words are hard, tears speak clearly. I want us to realize that grief is a very natural and normal part of life. People grieve in different ways, and they go through different stages of grief. Some people, when they lose a loved one, they are deeply, deeply hurt, and they go through a period of being angry. They're angry. Other people, simply, they feel numb. They don't feel anything for a while. And with other people, grief brings emotions of regret and guilt. And so with some people feel a profound loneliness, and sometimes they go into a prolonged depression. But most people finally get to that stage of acceptance and then hope. But I want you to notice that grief also takes time. Notice that. Grief takes time. In our text, I want you to notice that nobody hurries Abraham. Now, we don't know how long he wept over Sarah. I don't know if it was days or weeks. We don't know. But sometimes we make the mistake that, you know what? A person ought to move on after the funeral. Well, hold on a second. A person has barely begun to grieve by the time the funeral is ended. That's not so. Maybe a person comes into church and their loved one has passed away maybe a month or two ago, and they're still sad and forlorn. And sometimes we're uncomfortable and we says, well, why can't they just get over it? Why can't they just get over it? Sometimes a person will say to me, they'll say, you know, I'd like to go visit so-and-so, but I don't know what to say. One man writes of his grief after the loss of one of his three sons. He said, I was sitting torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true. I was unmoved, except I wish he'd go away. And he finally did. Another came and sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more. He listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, and left. I was moved, and I hated to see him go. My observation is people do not get over grief. They simply manage it. Sometimes a person will feel grief for years and years after the passing of a loved one. It could be many, many years, and sometimes a tender memory will bring a tear of loneliness and sadness to the person's eyes. The Bible tells us about the story of Joseph. You remember how his brothers hated him and how they deceived their father, and they made their father Jacob believe that he had been eaten and devoured by a wild animal. And remember how Jacob reacted? The Bible says he refused to be comforted. He was inconsolable. And years and years later, after he believed Joseph had died, it impacted the decisions that he had made. And the brothers, they don't understand it. They thought that Dad would be able to get over it. They were wrong. You know why? Grief will not be rushed. It will not be. Lastly, this morning, I want you to see that Abraham focused on the future. He focuses on the future. Let's read in our Bibles, beginning in verse 3. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead, and he spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead and the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you this burial place, that you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land and to the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me with Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is the end of the field. Let him give it to me at full price as property for a burial place among you. I want you to note something. Did you see what the scripture said? I want you to notice that Abraham was considered to be a mighty prince before them. It had to be because of his convictions in the things of God, his faith in God, his fair business dealings, his hospitality. They really, really respected Abraham. They respected him so much, they said, Abraham, we will give you a burial tomb. And I am sure Abraham appreciated what Ephron was doing. But you know what? He did not want to bury Sarah in a borrowed or stranger's tomb. He wanted to own the land where the tomb is. Notice, Abraham wants a tomb. And I want you to see, Ephron offers him a field. Did you notice that? I mean, I read that and I think, well, hold on a second, Ephron. Are you trying to take advantage of Abraham's grief? Doesn't that happen today, baby? I mean, are you going to take advantage of the fact that Abraham is really in a corner here? Are you going to jack up the price? Yeah. But I want you to notice the graciousness and the dignity of Abraham. Abraham did not haggle. He did not barter. He simply gave him the 400 shekels of silver. The asking price, the full asking price is what he paid. And all the field of Machpelah became such an important place. By the time you get to the end of the book of Genesis, look who is buried there. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah. What a great place it became. But I want you to notice that all this time, what God has been telling Abraham, in passages like Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, he says, Abraham, all this land I'm going to give you and your descendants that come after you. Up until this time, Abraham had been a better one. He had been a wanderer. He believed God. He was nearing the end of his life. And guess what? He had no property of his own till now. And so Abraham chooses to bury Sarah, his wife, in the cave of Machpelah because, listen, he believed that God was going to be true to his word. He did not buy that land out of convenience. He purchased the property out of faith. He believed what God had told him, that his descendants would own this land. And so I think that's amazing. Abraham in his grief, you know what he's doing? He is looking ahead. He is looking to the future. He is looking to the promises of God. And that is a powerful picture for you and I. Abraham, he did not withdraw from God in his grief. He stood squarely on the promises of God. And that is a great lesson for you and me as we face difficult times and grief in our life. The promises of eternal life for those who are faithful in Jesus Christ. Well, does that mean that Abraham was no longer sad? No. Does it mean that he didn't look over at night and miss Sarah being there? No. I'm sure that on occasion he'd say, "Oh, I got to tell Sarah. Sarah's gone." But I am sure that Abraham comforted himself in the words, "Someday, someday." And that isn't that almost what Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10 says? That Abraham was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham knew that Sarah was finally at home, that she had traded that drafty, dusty tent for an ivory palace. Isn't that great? So what do we learn today? What do we learn? Well, the first thing, let us make sure that our faith is rock solid. Let's do that. I like what 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says. It says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." Take a little inventory. Look at yourself. And after you've done that, I pray that you will work to make sure your family is walking in the straight and narrow. Because the truth of the Bible is, heaven is not promised for everybody. It is not. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who believeth not shall be condemned." Acts 2:36, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And Acts 2:47 tells us this, that the Lord added daily such as those were being saved to the church. He added them to the church. The saved are in the church. There is one body, Ephesians chapter 4. Are you a faithful member of the church of Christ? There are no saved outside the body. Can I tell you something? I don't know anything that is more difficult than preaching a funeral for someone who had no interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you preach a message of hope for that person? You see, their death really is a tragedy. Let us take inventory today. Make things right if they're not. Secondly, will you decide that you're going to be a friend of a person who's grieving? You know what that means? That means we have to be patient with them. That means we need to listen. That means we need to talk about the stories and the good memories. Make sure that they know that they will not have to grieve alone. One of our jobs is to bear the burdens of one another, right? And then lastly, make the most of the life that God has given you. Enjoy the people that God has put in your life. Thank God for them. Enjoy them. Open your eyes. Live the abundant life. Live today so that you will have no regrets tomorrow. But I tell you, if you do this, it will make your grief more intense later on. It will make your hurt and loss more difficult and severe. But what's the alternative? The alternative is to keep people at arm's length, at a distance. To not let anybody into your heart. Not to love. And that is a wasted life, isn't it? Let's take the example of Abraham. When we're going through difficulty and grief in our life, let's see the reality. Let's grieve because God gave that to us to heal our hearts. And then let's look to the promises of God. If there's a way we can help you this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen@westhuntsville.org.